everybody, and welcome to the Final Femme podcast. My name is Sydney, and today I'm here with Grant. Hello, Grant.
Hello, everyone. Grant's back.
Grant's back! Yay!
It's good to be here with you, Sydney.
It's good to have you, Grant. Not everybody who comes on our show dies. As you can see, right. Grant is fine.
Yeah! You know, I've got my crucifix. I've got my voodoo dolls. I have a few hands of Hamzas hanging around here.
Okay.
I got a few Ankhs even. I got Ankhs where you would not believe an Ankh would fit, but it's there.
Oh, good. As you may have noticed, Jack is not here with us today. He is off looking for more producers because Grant is busy. Even though we love and appreciate Grant, he does have a full-time job. So Jack is out scouring for producers. So Grant and I are just going to sit and chat with you guys about movies or books or whatever's going on in pop culture in the horror space or just things we want to talk about. So this is a new format. We're trying it out for when one of us has other things to go do. So let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, just looking to get kind of a little more casual with it. Not going to give you the full rundown of a movie, but we may give you, you know, rundown of a scene or something or a song or maybe some tidbitty information stuff that we enjoyed or learned. Or, you know, while Jack's busy boots on the ground, scrounging up those producers, because kind of thinned the herd a little bit.
Thinned the herd a little bit. He's working on it. Thanks, Jack.
All right. Hopefully he's got a few items to quell any curses with him as well.
Yes, I should. You know what? He'll be fine. Let's not worry about Jack. Let's talk about you, buddy. What have you been watching lately?
You know what? You know, I feel like it's hard to find a TV show I can actually like watch and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I don't know, that my brain is activated. I'm intrigued by and I enjoy watching it. Mm-hmm. I'd say the only thing lately that I've been like excited for a new episode, which isn't, you know, Yellow Jackets, because that's on an off season right now.
Such a good show.
It's a great, great show. But no, lately I've been watching Alien Earth.
Oh, which, I was curious about that. You like it?
It's good. It's good. Like it's got Ridley Scott's paws are completely off of it, basically. I mean, he created the universe and whatnot, but like these are obviously people playing around within that shared universe, creating their new ideas, creating some new monsters.
Ooh.
Which
one
has been stealing the show. Mm-hmm. Not to get into the thick of it, mm-hmm, but there is an eyeball.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a human eyeball, but it has lots of little eyes like around the rim of it. And it has like little octopus tentacles coming out the bottom of it that it walks around on.
That sounds like a D&D monster.
Yeah, it like jumps and can fling itself across the room and like rip out an eyeball and implant himself in the body of a like a dog or a lamb. It's in a sheep for a large part of the first season, it seems.
Okay. Is his name something cute like Bob or Phil? Because I just really need the giant eyeball monster to have an adorable, plucky name.
I think it's Isaac.
Isaac.
Maybe.
I'll let that one slide.
I like it. Now, I don't know if they've named it at all, because I know there's the Xenomorph.
Right.
Which is the alien from Aliens. But
that one. No, that's more. Yeah, that was too dry. Oh, God, I just grossed myself out.
That was good. That was really good. Ew. Shit.
The neighbors are going to think
Vanessa's
something's gonna wrong.
Vanessa's
going to
creep the menth over that sound.
Yes. Great. I'll add it to my watch list. I liked the first Alien movie. I still need to watch the second one. And then I've heard the other ones are not worth the watch. So,
second one is, I mean, I think it's James Cameron, isn't it?
I think so.
So it's bigger, better, lots more explosions and gunfire and fire in general.
Mm.
It has some great characters in it that have always been like at the heart of the fandom. But there's some interesting literary ties to the TV series.
Yeah.
it introduces a new corporation.
Okay.
Whereas, like, the Weyland-Yutani has always been this, you know, enigmatic, like, conglomerate corporation that controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have a new one that is run by this little kid, young adult. He's probably, like, 20s or maybe supposed to be 20s or so. But he fancies himself Peter Pan.
Oh.
And he creates his own Lost Boys, so to speak, where he has found a way. So you have machines.
Okay.
You have, like, the robots. Like, in the first movie, the mm-hmm. one guy with the white blood and everything. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's a synthetic. They also have cyborgs, so people with, like, machine parts. But this little kid in the alien Earth has found a way to basically transfer consciousness into a fully synthetic body.
Oh,
so
okay.
In effect, but he's only been able to do it, or has only, I guess, found willing participants, maybe. I'm not sure. The idea is that it's a younger person's mind is more malleable to the idea of being transferred into a new body.
Yeah.
So he takes little kids dying of cancer and puts their consciousness into a fully synthetic body where they have superhuman strength and speed and hearing. And
I don't love that. I was going to suggest he's like starts adding on the Real Housewives of whichever city because they've got plastic parts in their face. There's probably cyborg parts.
Yeah,
like, but
oh yeah, there is some synthetic in there for sure.
Right? Did I tell you there was a time, one of the times I got the COVID booster, because I don't know about you, but it always like knocks my ass out for a day. Like I get super sick.
Yeah.
And I tried to watch The Real Housewives whilst fever high, and I got scared of their plastic surgery, like of their lips, and I started crying. This is as an adult, and I'm crying because of their plastic surgery on their face. So they'd fit into the alien universe.
They would. They would fit right in right there. And getting some cyborgy shit right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It would be a good show. I recommend it highly.
Okay. I'll add that to my watch list. I'm trying to think if there's any horror shows. I usually just rewatch. So like you said, Yellow Jackets is on pause, which by the way, y'all, if you have not watched Yellow Jackets.
Oh my God.
She's so glorious. It's like, it's the 90s. This soccer team, female soccer team in the 90s, crash lands into the woods. And then they're stranded there for like, what, 18 months? Something like that.
Oh gosh, I've lost track of how long. But yeah, like it's a
while.
Over a year. Well,
yeah.
No, I think it's around two because they just hit
years?
Their second winter.
Oh yeah.
So at least maybe 18 months, maybe 18, yeah.
Okay. But like, I mean, some fucked up shit happens. The only adult that's out there. Well, some fucked up shit happens. So it bounces between now and back then, and you kind of see how it's affected everyone and there might be some weird culty stuff going on, maybe some supernatural, maybe not. You should watch it. It is definitely worth it. I think it's on Amazon. I don't remember where else. And that's Grant's cat meowing
Amazon
in the background. I think
Amazon carries it. Oh, yeah. That's my cat. Stars.
Oh,
no,
Star.
What's,
was it?
No, Showtime.
Showtime.
Isn't it Showtime?
Yes.
Worth
Sorry.
It. Giving out praise to Stars, whose
Stars.
Only merits is Party Down. Sorry, Stars.
Oh, God. I love the fuck out of that show. Okay, so that show is not horror, but it is like...
No.
It's like the movie Waiting, which has its problems, but it's like the movie Waiting meets The Office, only it's stupid sarcastic, and it's so funny, and it's like got a young Adam Scott, Lizzie Kaplan, Jane Lynch is in there for a season.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just forgot her name. She's married to Nick Offerman. Megan Mullally?
Yeah. Mullally, yeah.
Yeah.
I was about trying to figure out how to say your last name, yeah.
It's so worth it, y'all. You should watch that.
Yeah. Funny. Funny stuff.
It is very funny. Depressing, but funny.
Yeah, there's some low points, but there's a lot of just light humor in there.
Yeah. And a lot of cameos. A lot of stars show up in that show.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I have a new pop culture horror thing. I saw The Conjuring last weekend.
Like the
brand
first
new
movie?
One? No, no, no.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, didn't we watch that?
I mean, yes, we did watch the first one. Yeah, it was mom and dad of horror like their last Conjuring movie, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. This is their last one.
Oh, really, huh?
Mom
oh,
and Dad, man. Come back. It was fun. It was a little, for me, it was a little colored. I had a friend and we went, and there were these two jackasses sitting behind us just yapping the whole time, as people just have lost the ability to go to fucking theaters these days. The asshole in front of us took his shoes off, gross. And the people behind us, the two, they had to be like early 20s, just two dudes talking the whole time. And it's probably good they left early, because near the end I was starting to say things. Yeah. And I feel like I often, my mouth says things that my body cannot follow through with. It's probably good because yeah. I was running my mouth. But the movie was a lot of fun. It's not my favorite out of the four, but it was a nice like ending. To the whole universe. So I would recommend.
Oh, really? Okay. So they did kind of wrap it up in a way?
Yeah. Yeah. They tied up the rest of the ends. It does make me want to watch a documentary on the Warrens, because the way they're portrayed on screen, like everybody loves Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. And I hear that the actual Warrens were kind of trash babies. So I would like to watch a documentary or learn more about them.
I mean, it would be interesting regardless. Like,
yeah,
I love all that haunted stuff.
Me
love spooky
too.
Haunted things.
Haunted house stuff is probably my favorite. Although found footage is making its way up there too. I like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, you do really like a good found footage movie.
Yeah, I still need to see The Long Walk. I think that came out in theaters last week, and that's an old Stephen King book. I think he wrote that under his pen name Richard Bachman, but they just put it out in theaters. Like Mark Hamill's in it. I'm sure there's other big names too, but I'm excited to see that one. But I heard it's kind of emotionally devastating, which makes sense because the book was kind of emotionally devastating.
Sure.
But it's one of my favorites by him. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I was just going to say, I find it very interesting that, I guess it's not necessarily Stephen King per se, but the guy who's been directing a lot of his adaptations.
Mike Flanagan. We love Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan and Biscuits. Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill and Mike Flanagan have been like good buddies as of late. Like they are just
so
peas
cute.
In a pod.
Yeah.
Just cool.
Well, Mark Flanagan, motherfucker. Mark Hamill. Mark Flanagan.
Now I got Mark you messed up.
No. Mark Hamill was in Fall of the House of Usher, which Mike Flanagan put out a couple years ago, which By the way, is an excellent show on Netflix. And it's like each episode is basically an Edgar Allan Poe story, but it's about this fucked up family, like this really rich fucked up family. So think like the Sacklers or like that show Succession that came out recently. Same vibes. Very worth a watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good. Sorry, actually, Miku is asking a lot of attention.
But she's very cute. I know y'all can't see her, but she's like this perfect smoky gray color. She looks like the color of smoke. She is a very pretty girl. It's a huge green eyes, too.
I always pretend that she's a little Russian blue cat, but I know she's just a cute little farm cat. But
that's okay. Maybe she speaks perfect. In a Russian accent.
Well, yeah. Da.
Svidaniya. Da svidaniya. Oh, my God.
Babushka.
That reminds me, not horror related at all. Well, kind of, but okay. So Anastasia, you remember the glorious movie of our youth?
Most definitely.
So at the fucking good. Of the night, it was yes. Okay. But speaking of that song, someone on TikTok put together, because the villains always get the best songs, right? Oh, such a good song.
Of course. Yeah.
So on TikTok, somebody put together a compilation of him singing that song, but like the different language options. So you've got like English, and then you've got Russian, French, Polish, German. I think there was Arabic in there too. Just all these options. It was cool to hear, like, because she was like, rate the vocal performance, like which country, which language did it best. And it was really cool to hear like all the different options of that.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
That is always like DVDs and everything used to always have different audio tracks just automatically thrown in there so you could switch it at will. And I will never, I will kind of forget. I was about to say I will never forget, but I've already kind of forgotten.
Nice.
I want to say, It was some old movie that I was at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I think they'd already watched it. And so they put it on again, but they changed it to like French. And so we were just watching this movie we've all seen, except it was French subtitles. It's like, it was funnier than it had any right to be. But
I do like stuff like that. Oh, subtitles are almost always worth it. It's a good time.
But that's cool that, like, again, because you have to pull that talent from other countries, or at least that people that speak that other language, mm-hmm. and can sing in that other language.
Yeah. Like, it was cool to hear like how each different country and performer interpreted it, because it's not the same guy singing in a bunch of different languages. Like you said, it's different actors.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of books. Oh, I guess it kind of made me think of Follow the House of Usher. I just finished Fiend, which is Amakatsu's new horror novel. It's a rich, terrible family, and they're all kind of awful to each other. So very Succession, Follow the House of Usher vibes. But then something is ensuring their success. Like something is ensuring that nothing bad ever happens to that family. And is it a friend or a foe? And what does it cost to have that? It's really good. I like Amakatsu's work. I think I don't know. I can't tell if this is my new favorite or if my favorite is The Hunger that she wrote about, like, the Donner Party, but it's also supernatural and maybe something actually killed the settlers and what happened. It's very good.
Cool. Okay.
She does historical horror really well.
Sounds like she approaches it with a very, very interesting perspective. Like,
yeah,
to work in those hints of something darker.
She did. Yeah, she did that one about the Donner Party. She did one called The Deep, which is about Titanic. She did The Fervor, which was about the Japanese internment camps. Like, I appreciate that she takes a different chunk of history each time and just like kind of whoop.
Yeah.
Puts it into a story.
Yeah. Find a part where humanity may not have been at its best.
Yeah. Well, and we got a lot of options.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hooray.
But just to pull from that dark time and be like, let's just throw, you know, if we're going to go dark, let's just keep throwing more on it.
Right?
Make it interesting. Yeah. Double down.
Double down. I did just start at one that I think I'm going to really like. It's called Coffin Moon by Keith someone. I could look that up. Sorry, Keith.
I assume coffin like a casket?
Yeah, not like not she's coughing a lot.
Coffin like a moon. Moon.
Moon. Yes. Coffin, like the thing you die in, Moon, by Keith Rawson. And it's like, it's vampires, but it's set in 1976 in Portland, Oregon. And this guy is back from Vietnam and he's trying to like get his life together. He's married and he takes care of his 13-year-old niece. Like he's her guardian now. But then like one night he crosses a vampire, and then this is all in the book jacket, so I'm not spoiling it. But like that vampire murders his wife. And so he and the 13-year-old now are on a cross-country chase to get revenge against the vampire. I don't always like road trip stories, but I really like his narrative voice. So I think this is going to be a fun one.
Nice. Okay.
But I do love a vampire story. I'm also reading The Historian. Oh my God. I need to stop talking about books before I have the author pulled up.
Historian with a vampire.
The Historian by Elizabeth Kostova, which is... That one's, it's definitely more of a slow build. It's like a 26-hour audiobook. And there's some like epistolary. It's told from a couple different points of view. But basically, it's like, I think the fictionalized version of Dracula, if he was Vlad the Impaler and still alive. And then like a graduate student is hearing this story from her dad. And I'm not sure where it's going yet, but I kind of feel like maybe she's going to go hunt down Dracula. I don't know.
Hmm. Neat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been about a vampire kick lately, I guess.
Hey, it's almost October, so.
Right?
Not that spooky season can't be all season.
All every year. Season. I do love this time of year, though, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, spooky season, it's finally time. And I'm like, I've read spooky stuff all year. That's what we do right? here on Final Fem.
You're an adult. You can just choose to do the spooky.
All year round, baby. That's what we do here.
Exactly.
Much to Jack's chagrin. But Jack's not here, so Grant and I will talk about whatever we want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got another one, kind of going in a little different direction, but one that I feel like you would enjoy. It is from a video game.
Okay.
It's gotten a lot of acclaim recently, so all the gamer nerds out there probably already know what I'm going to say. But it is a great story. It was certainly one of the most emotionally impactful stories I've gotten from a video game in a long time. It's a game called Clair Obscura.
I have been seeing ads for that.
It's really good. I believe it's been a few months since I played it, but it goes in, I believe, three acts. So it's like a three-act play.
Okay.
So it sets itself up in a very classical sense. It is extremely French. Not in a bad way, but there are enemies that are mimes.
Yes.
Because of course there are.
Obviously.
And you can have like a baguette version of a costume. So you've got like your black and white striped shirt. And then you've got like a red handkerchief. And you got a little baggie with a baguette in it.
Of course. How else are you going to fight off the demons?
It's extremely... Well, speaking of the demons. So the monsters that you fight in this game. It's hard not to go into the majesty of the game without divulging a lot of the plot points.
Oh, spoilers. Okay.
But I'll say this. So the world you're in is like an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. So they're in like Paris.
Okay.
And to kind of speed run the opening act, or I guess the opening chapter, the game opens up and you're this gentleman who sounds like he has broken up with his girlfriend recently. Okay. Still a little torn up about it. He's like sitting on like a top porch patio overlooking the city of Petty. And this little girl who seems like his sister, kind of like adopted sister in a way, found family. But anyway, she's like, oh, you're going to go talk to her. He goes down and you start learning it's this festival that they're having. So they go down to the festival and he sees his ex-girlfriend down there. They kind of dance around old history and whatnot, but they're still kind of chuckling. So there's still a little spark there. And in the distance, they're up on this shoreline. And they go up to these massive like statues for this festival. And in the very distance, there's this large statue, because even in the distance, it's big.
Okay.
And there is a number up there at 34. And so the game is Clair Obscura Expedition 33. So the clock start bonging and the giant statue stands up and elongates. It's this like very like thin, long haired female figure.
Okay.
That gets up to the statue and goes to the 34 and wipes it away. And it says 33. And everyone who is 34 years old turns into flowers and blows away in the breeze.
Oh, no.
And this has been going on for decades.
Okay.
Every year, the new year ticks down and everyone above that age is dead.
And no one remembers each time that happens?
They remember, and they have been sending expeditions to this island where the Paintress is.
Okay.
To try and stop it, but no one ever comes back.
Oh, interesting. That's the premise of the game?
And that's how it starts.
Okay.
And
that's how it starts.
It does a few overlaps where it's like, oh, everything you thought about this world, nah, it's about something else. And it does that maybe two times.
Okay.
I will say it's very interesting. Just after that, the gentleman who is now 33 and is on his last year of his life, essentially, goes and joins this expedition with the little sister and whatnot. They get on a boat. They reach a shoreline. That's the beginning of their expedition. And immediately an old man with a cane approaches them and like slaughters most of them with his like hidden blade in his cane.
What the fuck?
And just starts killing them all. So an old man, like, gotta be in like his 60s going on 70s.
Past 34.
Wait, how is he still alive? he starts killing them all. And they're like, and the other thing too, that I think was done on purpose, the older gentleman now has like he's got some scars on him. He's got some battle damage.
Yeah.
But he does look vaguely similar to the main character. And you're like, wait a minute.
Interesting.
So.
Okay. Worth checking out.
Like you get past act one.
Yeah.
You're probably going to shed a tear or two. Mm-mm. And you're like, all right, let's pick it up for chapter two. And chapter two is like, I'm sorry, what's going on now? What? Excuse me?
What happened?
It gets neat and fun.
Okay. I don't play them that much, but I've been looking to get onto like Twitch or YouTube and watch other people play.
Oh, sure.
I bet I could find that. I would like
There's
to watch.
There's got
to
be a let's play of Player Obscura. If you can, I think you would really enjoy the story itself. Like, it pulls from a lot of, you know, tropes and old storylines that have been kind of done before, but it does it in a really good way.
Well, I used to sit there and watch partners play video games while I like would knit something. And I really miss doing that. I watched one make his way through the three BioShock games. And those were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that is a dystopian story set in the 30s of a city that went underwater and it went real bad real fast. So I would watch a movie of BioShock.
They're still looking at making one.
Haven't they been talking about that for a couple years now?
For a couple years, yeah. It's kind of one of those Hollywood limbo things where they always have to try and find a director and actors and studio to produce it. But speaking of, there is some headway as far as, I don't know, I forget if it was a TV series or a movie, but they were looking, they have started actually picking out people to direct and produce, I believe, of a Life is Strange movie, which is one of the other previous heartstring tugging video games that I played a few years back.
Okay.
Really enjoyed.
Interesting.
It's a very nostalgic driven tale of two childhood friends reconnecting in some of the most unfortunate of circumstances.
Okay.
But in a fun, like,
in a fun,
you know,
way.
Superpower and yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, because I remember, was it you that showed me Detention? No, it was a friend of mine at work. I showed you Detention.
Yeah, you showed me the movie Detention, yeah,
But you've played
great.
The game before. I knew
of the game.
Okay.
I didn't really know the plot line. Like, I watched some little clips of people playing it, and I was like, I don't think I'll play that. But the movie, holy shit, that's a good movie.
We should do that one sometime. It's excellent. It's set in, like, 1969 Taiwan during Not infestation.
Occupation.
Thank you. Occupation. Well, I kept thinking like infestation. No, that's not right. But
I mean,
kind of.
Yeah, comme ça.
But yeah, it's based on history. And then the whole thing is set up in this dreamy, nightmare, basically. And you're trying to figure out what's real, what happened now, what's in the past, what's going on. And there's a lot of ghosts. There's a lot of betrayal. And it's fucking excellent. That movie is so good. We might have to do that one sometime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a good one.
I don't know.
Again, just to encourage our listeners to go seek some new movies out. Maybe they haven't seen.
That's true. We've been doing a lot of classics and like American horror, but I would like to branch out to different countries. I think we did one Canadian horror, maybe two. Pontypool was Canadian.
Yeah, Pontypool was Canadian. They did have an extra helping of American plot line in there. But
yeah, but there's some countries. Okay.
But I do believe the guy who plays Grant Mazzy is Canadian, I want to say.
There you go. So. Grant Mazzy in the morning. Who I kept calling Mazzy Star. Sorry about that, Grant.
I just like his little cymbal monkey.
There was... Oh, God.
When I get one of those.
I can't remember if it's French or German. I think I told you about it a couple years ago. It's a holiday movie. I was looking for a Christmas horror movie. It's called Advent or Advent Calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Was that German?
Or
French? It's on Shudder. It's called The Advent Calendar. It's... Motherfucker, just tell me. Come on, IMDb. Give me your secrets. Where are you set, you twerp? Also known as the Krampus Calendar. Well, that leads me to believe it's German.
That's kind of where I was leaning. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's German. That is an excellent horror movie for Christmas. If you would like a Christmas horror movie, The Advent Calendar.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that one yet. I need to get around. I'll add that to my list of movies I need to check
out. Well,
in
your defense, I text you like every other week. I'm like, have you seen this one? You should watch this one. What about this one? And you're like, I'm busy.
Ooh, okay. Countries of origin, Belgium and France. So it is French and German. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
But it's like this woman gets an advent calendar. I think from a friend of hers. And it's like, okay, you have to follow the rules. And if you follow the rules of the advent calendar, wonderful things will happen. But the advent calendar starts asking more and more bad things of her in return. And then it's like, how far are you willing to go? And it's very spooky. She's worth it.
It's nice. Heck yeah.
I rewatched The Black Coat's Daughter a couple weeks ago. That's a good one if you haven't seen it. That's a slow burn. Have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm. No.
That one
who
has...
Who was in that? Was that the one with... Or no, that's The Black Phone. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Which was a fun book. I didn't see... The movie's fun, too. No, this one has Emma Roberts, Kiernan Shipka, and then Lucy Boynton. That's probably not how you say Lucy's last name, but it's... It's like a boarding school in upstate New York. I think it's set in the 90s. Maybe it's the 80s. And like something bad happens, but it's a very slow burn. And you're trying to put the pieces together. And it doesn't make sense until like the last 5-10 minutes of the show.
Huh. Okay.
It's good. You have to be patient, but it's good. It's worth it.
But all the pieces come together and you're like, yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's slow burn. Like it's kind of sad. Yeah, I would say that those are kind of up your alley, so I think you'd like it.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as there's something, you know, interesting or tantalizing that like keeps you going forward, like if you can make the run up to those slow burns, I do love those.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to chitter chat about?
I had one because I know it's one that you've seen. And when I told you I was going to watch, and I did finally watch it last night, and I feel like there's a bit of a discussion that I think could be had.
Oh, no!
Not in a bad way. I think in a good way. I think I know why you were like, I don't want to recommend this to anyone. But I watched The Barbarian.
Oh, I have not seen The Barbarian. I looked up the plot and was like, hell no.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right.
Yeah.
I thought you had seen it, and you were like... And yeah, I remember getting the feeling that you were like, nah, I'm good.
Well, because I was curious about it because the ads kept popping up, but I was worried because of the way it was marketed. I was like, God, is there going to be a lot of like sexual assault in this or something just because of the trailers? And then I started to read the plot and then I read the whole plot. And I'm like, ah, no, this is not a Sydney movie.
I will say that. How graphic can a podcast be? The main like sexual assault scene in the movie is the female monster trying to force breastfeed Justin Long.
Yeah.
Which is
It's
a scene.
Yeah. So not in the traditional, there was just enough weird, uncomfortable stuff. It's not something usually like.
And this is why I was hoping we were going to have a little discussion if you had seen it. So the way, you know, Justin Long did great as far as acting. I don't think I've ever really seen him doing scary stuff ever.
He's been in a couple, like, but from a while ago. Like, he was in the Jeepers Creepers movies.
Oh, shit. I forgot about those.
It's been a long time. He's been in a couple horror, but yeah, not recently.
But yeah, he was certainly like it was a very serious role, but I feel like it's a horror movie, but it's got a bit of a inherent discussion in it. If you're a couple watching it, or if you're just a guy and a girl watching it, like,
ugh, what a choice for a first date movie.
It really would be. Although it might actually be a very good first date movie.
Okay.
Because of how a man's reaction to Justin Long's character would be.
I did read about his character. He's not a nice man in that movie.
No.
Yeah.
And the way I kept phrasing it in my head when I'm watching this movie, I was like, oh, so Justin Long is the bad guy and the little girl is just the monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not necessarily the bad guy and the monster. It's like, no, Justin Long is the bad guy.
He's a bad dude in that movie.
She's, yeah. And there are certainly some scenes where they, again and again, Justin Long's character, mm-hmm. like, again, this is the way it's written, is that he keeps trying to basically downplay
mm-hmm.
the sexual assault claims that are laid against him in this mm-hmm. upcoming lawsuit he's having. And then there's even a scene where, like, he's out on the dance floor with his buddy. He's like, yo, man, just tell me. Like, yo, come, like, what's the deal? What really happened? And the way Justin Long describes what happened, and again, this is all written. So the way a writer wrote this.
So the character, not Justin Long, the person.
Not Justin Long. No, I'm sure he might be fine. I don't know. I've never met
him. No idea.
But yeah, the way he describes it, again, it's such that saying a lot without saying anything at all.
Yeah.
Kind of a way of downplaying everything. And you're mm-hmm. just like, I could see
mm-hmm.
some men watching this and being like, see, babe, sometimes people just accuse good guys. Because then there's a point in the movie where Justin Long has this little realization by a campfire after he escapes. Mm-hmm. You know, the female monster's den and whatnot. And he's like, maybe I'm not a bad guy. Maybe I'm just a good guy that did a bad thing.
No, you're a bad guy.
It's supposed to be this, like, maybe it's building up his character.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see some guys watch this and be like, yeah, all right. He's like, 2 minutes later, he shoves her off to her death off of, like, a water tower. The other female, not the monster female, but, like, the other female captive.
Spoilers, like, I guess, if you haven't seen it.
And then he instantly, like, when she finds out she's still alive, he's like, I had to do it. I had to do it. You know, it's just, you know, there's no way we would both survive. And, you know, you understand that, right? And, like, bro, this motherfucker needs to get his, like,
oh my
god.
Oh my god. No, I read the plot and I was like, oh, absolutely Sydney. Not.
Sydney.
You're gonna mark down when you
I
said
bet I
my
know
name.
Why Sydney didn't like this.
Yeah, you're right. I read that plot and I was like, no, this is not for Sydney.
Yeah.
It would be a good litmus test, though.
It was a good good litmus test. But it was honestly a good horror movie.
Okay.
I really like, what's his name? He played the clown in It.
Tim Curry.
Another Skarsgård.
Oh, Bill Skarsgård. The new It.
One of the many Skarsgårds.
And there are many.
There are. He played a great little awkward man character.
Yes.
It was great.
He's such a
like
cutie.
It was again, they tried to build him up as being like the potential danger. Because there's this whole like conflict where they double book an Airbnb
mm-hmm.
and Bill Skarsgård, you know, while unconventionally attractive, mm-hmm. can look a little odd, especially given some right lighting conditions.
True.
Which they do to play it up. But yeah, he was awesome. He was a good. It's fun watching him.
I like Bill Skarsgård. He did a good job as It. He's not my It. No. Tim Curry is my It. But he did a good job. Also, if anyone is feeling thirsty for Bill Skarsgård and you want to see him in a good light, Hemlock Grove, he plays a very rich, kind of a bastard vampire. And it is a good time. Don't judge me.
Okay.
There's a vampire, there's a werewolf, and other shit happens.
There is.
I don't know. I was just focused on the vampire. God, I'm cool.
Move over, Edward Cullen.
Hey, girl, no one's looking for Edward Cullen. Go sparkle somewhere else.
I'm going to sparkle at night, baby.
Baby, you better hold on tight, spider monkey.
Where are you going? Where are you going? We need to know. We formed this club based off of where you're going.
Yeah.
So we need to know for our club.
Oh, come on, my by friends the way, keep listeners. Getting eaten by animals.
Sit down, have some plaid. Yes. Oh my God, I said that to someone the other day.
Did they know what it was from?
No, they Dang didn't. It. They're like, they're not cool. What? I had to explain everything.
Boo.
So listeners, if you've ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000, they are still going strong as Riff Tracks, and they have done where they quip and make fun of, you know, typically old movies in the MST3K section, but as Riff Tracks, they do newer movies, and they did the whole Twilight saga, and it is hilarious.
It's so funny. Yeah, so it's the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys, but it's like an app. It's either an app or a website, might be both, but you just download the Riff Track, so their audio of whatever movie you're reviewing. So Grant and I watched Twilight, and then we downloaded the Riff Tracks of their audio to go with it, and they just dogpile the fuck out of Twilight, and it's so funny. It's worth it.
It's some of the funniest shit. Yeah. I remember watching it and just I was in tears laughing.
It was so good. Oh my God. We should rewatch that. It's
kings,
been a while.
Kings of their craft.
Yes. My parents named one of our cats after one of the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Crow.
Yes. There's a robot on there named Crow T Robot, and my parents named our little gray and white tabby Crow T Kitty. And he was a shit, just like the robot on the show.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, Crow, rest in peace.
Just need that little voice coming out of him, the head swiveling back and forward.
That's such a good show. The old show, the Riff Tracks, it's a good time.
It's, oh yeah. Yeah.
I think old episodes of MST3K are on Netflix, is that right?
I know for a time, Netflix put money to get some new seasons made.
Okay.
And so I think at the same time they bought the rights to air of it. I don't know if it's still going on. It might be, but
that's true. That was a couple of years ago, but it's worth watching. If y'all haven't seen it, the show or the Riff Tracks, both are a good time.
Oh, 100%.
But don't watch Twilight bald, like by itself. That's a bad, I mean, like do what you want, but you know, it's better with the Riff Tracks.
Yeah. If you're looking to laugh a bit more and instead of whatever else you
do, instead of whatever else that is. Oh, Twilight. I did eat those books up like candy when they came out, though. They're such quick reads. They're like little... And the movies were fine. I mean, going back and reading the books, you're like, I don't think I need to own these anymore. But at the time, they were fun.
I mean, if anything, it certainly launched a few actors' careers.
Yes, yeah, it did.
Holy hell.
Mm-hmm.
Got quite a few out of there.
Been good for them.
Good for them.
Okay, one last thing y'all should check out. If you haven't, you can just go on Spotify and search up like horror lo-fi or like spooky lo-fi or whatever. And they'll just put like, they'll either make pretty vibey sounds along with like an underlying beat, or it's like those old school corny Halloween soundtracks. And then they'll just put like chill music underneath it. It's so nice to listen to, like, on my drive to work or at work.
Heck yeah.
Horror lo-fi is a good time. I recommend. Any last recommendations from you, Grant?
You know, I'm sure there's more, but we can save those for another time.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Friends, let us know what you think. We will be back at some point. We'll be back whenever Jack returns to us with a new producer. But in the meantime, thanks for letting Grant and I hang out with you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
We will see you in the next one. Bye!
Bye, everybody.